So the question was asked, if for the sake of helping a person come closer to Judaism, you're going to have a conversation with the person, and he's going to have immodest conversation with you. He's going to talk to you about girls and other things. And in having conversation with him, you can hopefully have an influence on him and help him come back to keeping Torah and mitzvot. Is that a proper route to go? Right? That's basically the question, more or less. Okay, so I think here it's a very personal, it's an individual question, you know. For some people, it depends on really two factors. The person who's helping to draw him back, where he's holding in life, and what kind of impact that conversation can have on him. And the person who you're trying to bring back, where he's going to try to drag you down to. You know, there have been stories where one guy was trying to bring someone else back, and the other guy brought him back, you know. I real stories. I'm telling you stories that happened here in the Mahon last year, not like stories I've heard of. No, stories that happened here between guys here in the Mahon. So it's a little bit of risky business, and it's a question of where you're holding. Let's take an example that the Medrash gives us. The Medrash says when it comes to philosophy, that the rabbis of the Talmud would avoid conflict in philosophy because they said you never know when the guy's going to draw out a claim that'll suddenly cause you to wonder and ask yourself, and I'll quote you a pasuk, and you'll say, gee, I don't know how to answer that Christian claim. Now what do I do? So Chazal in themselves, the Medrash says, they were never overly confident that I could answer every question off the cuff, and I'll never end up doubting myself. No. You know, the rabbis of the Talmud said that about themselves. So that's one of the reasons why I'm always scared in these question-answer sessions. I never know what question is going to come up. And I always daven. You know, I daven. I have 2 weeks in between question-answer sessions to daven that Hashem should give me the capacity to have an answer. But when a person is faced with these situations, a person has to be able to gauge both sides and sometimes stop midway. I could tell you there's a guy who, two guys in my life that I could think of, who were leaving observancy, they were leaving keeping Torah and mitzvos, and I felt that I don't know where the conversations will end up. I don't know where I'll end up at the end of my conversations with them, and I refused to deal with it. I broke all contact with both of them. I said, you know, God, you help them. Let someone else help them. But this isn't for me. You know, I had a friend who was a genius in philosophy. I'm not sure genius. At 16, he was already after an M.A., and he was sitting there in classes contradicting his teachers. He knew philosophy much better than him. So until he was like 21, we'd have philosophical conversations. And then reached a point where I felt like, you know, how do I know I'll always be smarter than him? I don't know, you know. Till now I never felt like he ever drew me down. But I don't know, I'm dealing with a genius here. I don't know, you know, what one day he'll pull out of his pocket. I don't know. I don't feel like risking my capacity to answer for his sake. And you should know, I don't know where he is today, but when we left off, he wasn't keeping Shabbos or anything. So even though I answered his claims, but he'd always come back with something else, and back and forth, and back and forth. And after 5 years of that, I sort of gave up on myself, not on him. But I said, I'm not sure I'm the guy who's ever going to make a dent. I'm with you. That's fine at that stage of the game. It's a little different when you're supposed to carry the title of a rabbi and people are expecting you to have an answer. Now, I don't always have answers either. When we once had a class here in Jewish philosophy, so the first thing I said in the introduction to the class was, I don't guarantee you answers. We will learn certain answers to certain questions, and you might not accept those answers, so go search elsewhere. You know, there every answer, every question has multiple answers. There isn't only one correct answer. And Judaism also offers us multiple angles how to understand God's running of the world. So there isn't only one answer in Judaism, and you don't have to accept what I say. Go discover, go hear other rabbis. And there were many students here who did just that. They'd finish my class, and then they'd go to Rabbi Cardozo Lopez. Heard of him? They'd go to his classes. Fine. I'm not saying you got to go with this philosophy. What I am saying is that when you're facing a situation where you are going to be challenged, and that challenge is going to potentially draw you down, so you have to evaluate the situation, and you can't always evaluate the situation. And we try to avoid these situations. We can't always avoid them. Sometimes you'll be by your parents' home for Shabbos, and suddenly they or their guests or your siblings will start to challenge. And sometimes you can say, guys, look, you want, go to Machon Meir and learn for yourself. I'm not a rabbi. I don't have the answers to these questions. And sometimes you could say, hey, I know I studied in Machon Meir for 20 years and I'm a rabbi, but I don't have the answer to that question. It's a good question. Why don't you look into it? Maybe I'll look into it. But you don't always have to give an answer. You don't always have to continue the conversation. You should gauge what influence it's going to have on you. Very often people are just interested in the confrontation. They're not even interested in resolving their questions. I've very often told people, if you really have a question, so I feel like we're going in circles, I'm willing to have a conversation in writing. Because then when you repeat the same question 2 weeks later, I'll be able to refer you back to my email 2 weeks ago that answered that question. But when you have a conversation, very often people will go back to a point which you answered already, and then it's like frustrating, what am I doing here? You know, this is a game. Most people don't take me up on it, like to have a conversation in writing. If you're really interested in an answer, then why not? It's too tedious. Okay. Then you have a situation where you want to bring them back. It's your brother, it's your parent. And then sometimes you say, look, I don't think it'll have a negative effect on me, and I'm willing to try it. And then you should gauge it as it goes along. Sometimes a person can say, yeah, I know they're going to talk about girls, but it won't affect me. Look, I have to say that very often. You know, I have guys coming to me and telling me they're sleeping with their girlfriend. Okay, so they're committing a biblical prohibition. And now they come to me and they're asking me, should I continue with her or break up with her? So I'm supposed to put my mind in their framework, where they're not yet observant to the degree of not sleeping with their girlfriend, right? And that's a little bit difficult, right? That was what we were talking about a little bit earlier, where sometimes it's hard to maintain the norms.
Is that one of those questions you push off?
No. I mean, I don't. I think it through with people, you know. That's what we're doing here at Machon Meir. But I'm just saying, it's a little different. I'm married, Baruch Hashem, with kids. It's a different story. Every person in their situation has to gauge. And just because today you feel strong enough to deal with a certain situation doesn't mean in a week or in a year you'll be in that same strength. I think that's a very individual, you know. And it changes from time to time within the same person. And yes, sometimes we say that's part of helping the person come back, hearing them out in their situation. You know, that's part of what goes on here. It's not the ideal, but okay, the person isn't in an ideal state. You with me? Okay, but that's individual, and I think it's always good to have someone to consult with. I know I do. You know, I've had situations where I've had to sever ties because of the detrimental effect I felt it could potentially have on my home or on myself. And I try to consult before I would do such a thing. You're dealing with the life here, you know. When you sever a tie with someone, you're severing a certain potential for a future. It's their responsibility to find another potential. But, when a person who frequented our home was caught burglarizing and all kinds of claims that he was with the mafia came up, and I was called for questioning to the police. So I wondered, you know, what am I supposed to be doing here? This is a story from years ago. I've had to face different situations where I wondered, am I the person that, am I willing to put my family or myself in a situation where I'm in contact with a person like this? You know, I understand he wants to come closer. At the same time, you know, there are certain risks involved. And every situation requires its own evaluation. And in different stages in life, different evaluations. I tried to help a guy who was far out right, you know, an extremist. I don't know how extreme he was. And ever since I tried helping him, all my mail is checked. All my phone conversations are listened to. And chances are this class is being watched by the Shabak as well. You know, this is a story that's about 12 years old. But ever since then, I know that all my mail is being opened. I know that my phone is being tapped. Okay, it's a price you pay. Fine. I don't mind, you know. It makes for an interesting life. But fine, you know. Okay, I wonder sometimes when there's a taxi parked outside our house if there's Shabbat meets listening to our conversations or not. I don't know. You come to my house almost any night, there's a taxi parked in front of the house. Till today, I wonder what it's doing there. I don't know. I don't know. Okay, but you know, I don't mind that I helped that person. I didn't do anything illegal. I tried. What?
The guy doesn't live in the neighborhood.
Maybe he lives in the neighborhood. It's very funny that, you know, between 1 and 3 a.m., when I'm up between 1 and 3 a.m., he's there. And when I pack out and go to sleep, he packs out. I don't know. It's just curious, you know. It's a curious thing. It was very curious when I was in Merkaz Arav that when I switched rooms, so suddenly that the room I switched to was broken into again and my computer was accessed. It's very interesting that when I had an iPod in Merkaz Arav, somehow the SD card was stolen. They didn't take the, not an iPod, I had a Palm Pilot. They didn't take the Palm Pilot. You ever see a thief that only takes the memory card? You know, you already have the Palm Pilot in your hand, you're going to walk off with the memory card. So why don't you walk off with the Palm Pilot? I don't know. It's just curious things happen. Right? It's just weird. Okay? So you can explain it however you want. But I noticed a very clear switch. The day I helped this guy out, from that day onward, my mail suddenly came opened. I don't know. In Merkaz Arav, every mail packet I got was opened. Okay, fine. Fine. I noticed that when I was helping Gush Katif try to fundraise, so all the phone conversations to Chutz Lartz to help Gush Katif got disconnected. Any other conversation was working fine. Any phone conversation to help Gush Katif, suddenly, busy signal. How come? I never had problems before that call in Chutz Lartz. I never had problems after that call in Chutz Lartz. Okay. It's a little obvious of them to do it like that. So you can say whatever you want. I don't know. You want to, you know. Okay. I'm saying there's, but you have to, sometimes you don't even know in advance what the price is going to be. Okay. Yes, sometimes you do take a certain step and you're willing to listen to certain things and you're, but there are also limits, right? And there should be limits. And one of those limits is that you shouldn't destroy yourself or even give yourself potential for being hurt. Meaning we don't say, okay, I'm going to walk into a burning building where there's a reasonable chance I won't walk out just because maybe I'll be able to help them. Right? There's a certain responsibility to yourself.
So would you say you shouldn't donate a kidney?
That's a very good question. I think that
that would damage your health a little bit, maybe. But then you'd be helping.
That's a complicated question, right?
What if it was for family?
I don't think we should answer that question here because that question pertains to life and death. And sometimes I've noticed that people, I'm purposely not saying anything about that question because I've noticed that people will sometimes walk away from a class, take away their understanding of the class and apply it in their life, in life and death situations, and they didn't really understand what I said. So, you know, I don't want to say anything with regard to that. Let every person ask their local Orthodox rabbi. I don't want to leave room for misunderstanding. Sorry.
I have two questions. One,
I am with you.